So, can you just give us a quick summary about what schools you run, how long you've been in operation, and that sort of thing, the basics?
Okay, my name is Adam Johnson, and I am the CEO of Kabushiki Gaisha Beanstalk, which runs Beans English Schools, which is a small, very small chain of English language schools with three in Akashi and one in Kobe. Originally, the company started in 2004, actually owned by a Japanese lady, and it was one location, one room, herself and one foreigner. And she ran that for 5 or 6 years. And she had about, I think she had about 100 students. And I got to know her through my network by chance. I was actually working on a fishing boat at the time and doing
Wow.
half fishing and a bit of ekaera in the afternoons. And I knew that wasn't really the right direction for me. And I was currently studying at a university, again, doing a master's in applied linguistics. And I felt I wanted to get into ekaewa, but I was young. I was 23 years old. And I didn't really have an in until I met this lady who was looking for an out. She was going through troubles with her husband, and they were going through divorce. And when she met me, she was very, very excited to have met me because she wanted it out. And after about a year of talking back and forwards, I decided to go in for a 6 month trial. She had already left the region to get away from, you know who. And I said, right, I'll go in as a teacher for 6 months. And it was just myself at the time. The other teacher had left a few issues. And I said, I'll give it 6 months. And if after 6 months I feel it works, then I'm happy to pay the price that you've requested.
Cool,
And
wow.
I went in 6 months, and she promised me 120 students. And by the time I went in, there were 70. That usually happens, right? But I made the most of an interesting situation, took those 70. And then we just kept growing from then on. So that was back in 2010. And that was just one location. And then I built that up. It was just myself. I didn't have any Japanese staff or anyone. It was just working alone. And I at the time I think built it up to about bit rusty, but I think it was about 120 to 130 teaching alone. And then I decided to hire another teacher, and then I hired two teachers who lasted 6 months because they were both older than me, so that these are all lessons that I've
That sounds familiar to me. I've been through that in the early days for sure.
until I hired a guy called Cameron, actually from New Zealand. And I once upon a time lived in New Zealand for 6 years, so we had a great connection, and he's still with me now, 13 years later.
Fantastic. That's great.
And his wife, his now wife, he hasn't changed wives, but he wasn't married at the time. She now works for us as well. Yeah. We have four couples here.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Good for stability, in my opinion. But anyway, just jumping back, and then hired the next teacher, then hired one Japanese staff member, realized that wasn't enough. Told my wife she has to come and work for me now. She wasn't so happy, but she gave me a year. And then we decided. Two teachers. We expanded into two rooms in that location. It was big enough to have two rooms, but we didn't. It was just one big room, but we divided it, which is, I think everyone should do that, rent something a little bit bigger and give yourself the
For
option
sure.
for expansion without having to move out, move into somewhere else. Then we opened a second location in 2000 and hired another two teachers, and then third location in 2013. And then our fourth location in 2020, the year of the pandemic.
All right.
And we're now four locations, 15 full-time staff and two or three part-time staff. And I think we're just coming up to about 1,200 students.
Wow, that's fantastic. In four locations, that's quite impressive,
That's
yeah.
right. Our youngest school is in place called Okubo in Akashi, which is a really developing area, and that's the reason I decided to open up there. Most of Akashi is an extremely developing area, and it's been a big change from when I first came to Akashi in like I said, working on a fishing boat, it was very, very blue collar. Certain areas of Akashi still very blue collar, but it's in the last 10 years, thanks to Mr. Izumi, the mayor, probably seen the news. He's very famous on the news. There's been a big change from blue collar to white collar families in our area.
I've also seen that Akashi has, I think, one of the highest number of children per family or in Kansai or was it Japan? I'm not sure, but it's got a lot of kids there, which is kind of unusual.
Don't quote me on this, but I think in 2021, it was number two in Japan for the highest developing city.
Okay, that's cool, yeah.
And one of the reasons for that is that the mayor of the time, he's just retired, by the way, but 10 years ago when he came in and he did a couple of terms, he came in and made a checklist of 10 things he was going to do to improve the city. And one of them was to pay out the farmers well, use the farming land to redevelop housing estates. And we have housing estates of 500 houses at a time being built. And then he also said, if you come from the east side of the bridge, so the Kobe, Ashiya, Nishinomiya, if you come from that side of the bridge and then move down into Akashi and move your Juminhyo over to Akashi and start paying taxes here, we will give you free education and free medical up to 18 years
old. That's good. That's one way to increase the number of families for sure.
So they were flocking. I think since in 2019, there's 26 new kindergarten and hoikuens being built in Akashi. Some of them are still being built.
Wow. Great. Mm. Yeah. Well, you picked the right location. Was that on purpose or
no? It was by chance. It was really, really lucky because I know there's with the aging population in Japan, there's a lot of people out there who often say like, student numbers are dying off and I don't know what we're going to do next. Don't know if we'll be around in 5 to 10 years time. Yeah, I think location in this country is very, very important. And I was extremely lucky just to come in young. I went to university in Kobe just behind Akashi. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was in this area originally. And just really lucky, I think, to hit this area. Mm.
So we do have a bit of a time limit here, and I want to hone in on the main topic. What we're trying to get out of this is just to understand a little bit about how and when to increase prices, what's been your experience with it, and just your advice. So let me go through a few questions here. So you've been running for, was it 14 years, did you say? Or
yeah, coming up, 13 years.
And in that time, how many times have you raised your fees?
Oh, okay, good question. I would say, I'm trying to remember, I think between 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
Three for the base fee, I can remember clearly 3 times. Mm-hmm. And we also charge a shokehi, which is a sundry, and we've increased that once.
Okay. What was the name of that fee that you called it again?
Shokehi. It's a sundry fee. Sundry.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard anyone call it that before, but yes. Actually, that would be a good segue to the next one. So what can you describe how you structure your fees? What do the students have to pay to join, to continue every year, all that kind of thing?
Actually, talking about our joining fee, when I took over the company was 3,000 yen. It was super cheap. And when I say took over the company, it wasn't a company back then. It was just a lady running it, you know, Kojinjigyo style thing. So now I probably missed this. I know we're restricted for time, but we've actually changed the whole structure of the company. It is now a company. It's a Kabushiki company. It's a stock company. Mm-hmm. And all of our schools are also, the land is owned and the buildings are built. Mm-hmm. So we've got two companies. One of them is a real estate company. One's an education company. So we charge an entry fee now of 8,000 yen.
Okay.
It was originally 3,000, then I think we took it up to 5, then 6, and now 8. And, you know, it's one of those fees I believe that we can just keep bumping up because current students don't complain. It's got nothing to do with them. And new students coming in the door, most of them, especially in Japan, just accept that it's a payment that you pay when you're coming in the door, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very strict with how I use entrance fee. It's not just something that goes in my pocket. I reinvest it into marketing. And that's my marketing fund. Mm. Then we charge a monthly fee, a base monthly fee, which is, as you would know, which is a yearly fee divided by 12 equal payments. And the promise is you get so many lessons per year divided over 12 months. Mm-hmm. So it works out somewhere around 3.6, is it? 3.5. lessons a month.
Right.
You know, the Geshe Se system, you know, some months have five lessons, some have four, some have three, some even only have two. However, the monthly fee does not change for us, which allows us to then pay our staff well, pay our staff every month. None of this non-paying staff on long holidays, allowing our staff to go away, really relax, visit home, see their family. That's why at Beans we offer 8 weeks of paid holidays a year to our staff.
That's nice, yeah.
And in return, they work quite hard.
I'm going to want to come back to the number of lessons per year and stuff like that later.
Okay.
But so far we've got entrance fee, we've got the monthly fee. What is your monthly fee? And you said it was a year broke up into 12 months. So do they need to sign up for the full year and they have to pay for the year, or how does that work?
No, it's a monthly fee.
Monthly
fee. But when we explain it on sign up, we show them the total amount divided by seven.
I see. Right.
So then they can't rebute.
They won't go, there was only three lessons this month.
That's right. Right. So we make them understand in the very beginning that it's a yearly fee divided by 12, regardless of which month you join.
Right.
So there's no rebuking or, you know, trying to get out of paying for short months and stuff like that.
Right.
And we have no problem with that. We explain it carefully. We show them the full price divided. But once we show them that full yearly price once in the beginning, we never show it again.
Right.
It's just to paint a picture in their mind.
Right.
You know?
That makes sense.
So we pay an entrance fee, a monthly fee, and the monthly fee, let me tell you here, for our kindergarten class, I'll tell you the fees first, then I'll explain why you might feel they're cheap. For kindergarten, it's 5,600 yen a month base fee. Our elementary classes are 7,000 yen a month. Our junior and high school classes are 8,600 yen a month. And then our adults are 9,400 yen a month.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is a base fee. It doesn't have a sundry. And the sundry amount is 570 yen per month. However, it's collected every 6 months in one payment in April and October.
Okay.
So if... I'll give you an example. If you're the parent of a Shoichi elementary student, first grader, when they join, they'll pay us 8,000 yen joining fee, unless they've been discounted from some campaign. That's basically what we use for marketing. Then they'll pay 7,000 yen up front. Then they'll pay, if they join in April or October, they'll pay 570 yen times 6, 3,420 yen tacked on to the 7,000. For the first month's fee plus 6 months sundries. And then they'll pay a text fee on top of that.
Right.
However, if they join any time in between April and October, they'll only pay for the number of months of sundries that are remaining until the next sundry is collected.
Right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, totally.
So if they join in July, for example, they've only got to pay 3 months sundries, which is 1,710 yen on top of their base monthly fee, and then in October they'll pay the next 6 months block.
Yeah, that's clear. That makes sense.
With our sundry fee, once we collect, it is absolutely non-refundable. So you can quit 4 months earlier, you can quit 5 months earlier, just after you've paid it, you will not get that back.
Right.
And that is a medium. Is that the word? A medium we use to actually have students negotiate students to continue on.
All right.
Well, it's one of the tools of the trade, I guess.
Yeah. I think the entrance fee also does a lot for that as well. I think when we used to have no entrance fee, and when we were primarily in adult school, and when we didn't introduce it, they tended to stay longer. I think it's just kind of like, oh, I don't want to lose that fee.
That's probably another good reason to have a higher entrance fee.
Yeah.
And attrition, you know, people will stay longer.
How about materials? Do you have like a separate fee for your textbooks and that kind of stuff?
We don't have a base material fee. I know a lot of schools pay a yearly fee. I'm personally against that. I like to charge as the textbooks are required, we invoice.
Oh, okay. Do most of your courses have a book? I think you do have some, like quite an extensive homework program or something like that, I seem to remember.
Yes, we do. We have basically right up into junior high school, we have our own style curriculum, which is a homemade style curriculum. Plus, we've added one part of our lesson using a textbook with a homework book. Also, we have a reading system. However, the reading system costs nothing as we are lending them the books and they bring them back. But the textbooks, they use a student book, they get a workbook for homework, and we also have a writing book and a notebook. So there's four books they then buy. And as they finish one book, as a class finishes one book, the whole class will get invoiced for the next level text.
I see. Okay. So it's not necessarily 1 year.
Depending on the class and depending on the course, sometimes they overlap. They don't start in April and finish in the end of March. They seem to overlap into other ranks. But we have a set schedule that we try to keep all of our ranked classes on, so we don't have classes all over the place.
Right.
We try to keep it as strict as possible. But, you know, it's give and take a month or two.
Okay.
But I personally don't like, well, I'm actually still considering if I should bring in a materials fee, but I don't like the image of, you know, make it a round number, 10,000 yen. Parents,
right.
When I, as a parent myself, I think like, I bet you they're not using all that, you know, for textbooks.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. But at our school, our materials fee is quite high. The course, well, we publish ourselves as well, is 8 books for one of our main courses, so that the kids are getting new books almost every month, 8 out of 12 months of the year. So that's another kind of, if we're talking about attrition or kind of keeping them in, if they pay at the beginning, but it's like a subscription, right? They're going to get the next book in a few months, or next month they're going to get a book. It also kind of, you know, helps them want to sort of finish that course and get all of the materials.
But what I do wonder about that is that, can that work against you? If you have a high material fee that pops up at a certain time of the year, does that not give them motivation to finish up at the end of the month?
Yeah, you could argue that. I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, it would be for the following year. So I guess we would see that in the yearly renewal.
So what we try to do is stagger our textbooks from any other big fee month. So if we've got, like I said, we take Shoke above our base lesson price in April and October, and we try not to invoice any textbooks around that time. So once they get a new
timing to...
Right. So let's say they get their textbook in the end of November, that invoice, and they pay it. Well, then they're basically going to stay for another year unless they want to give up a textbook that's not being used.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So in general, you want to avoid any situation where there is, other than signing up, you want to avoid having too many fees in one shot that they will have to pay.
Lump sum payments?
The ultimate, the opportunity to rethink it.
Other than Shokeihi. Yeah. But Shokeihi, it's not that big. We advertise it as 570 yen a month.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
It's not. But when it's 20
on top
and
of
then you know, 1,200 students and then twice a year is 8.2 mil.
Yeah.
You know, so when you add it up, it's really, really important for us to have that on the site.
Right.
For whatever we use it for.
For sure.
I know we advertise it's for, without saying too much, but we advertise it's for, you know, Daibo, Dambo, you know, photocopying, all that sort of stuff, and power.
You easily would spend that much on the students for, even you have a lending library as well. Those books get, you know, they disappear, they get damaged, right?
That's right.
For sure. I think that's more than reasonable. In fact, so it does seem like your prices are quite reasonable. And from talking to you, I get the impression that you're trying to kind of keep it to not feel like it's expensive. You're not trying to kind of say we're the most expensive school in town or anything like that.
Definitely not. When I first opened, the prices were half of what we offer now.
Right.
When I took over. And I really have to tell you that in the beginning, Akashi was really a blue collar city.
Right.
So we've got Mitsubishi Juko, Kawasaki Juko, both of those big, big companies here. A lot of parents work on the chain lines, you know.
Right.
A lot of engineering companies. We've got Caterpillar Tractors from the US. Yes, there's a white collar division of those companies.
Right.
But a lot of the people that live in this area are quite blue collar. And
Right.
that has started changing. Therefore, I've been raising the prices, you know, and expanding and bringing in new stuff at the same time and offering new, brand new clean schools and new buildings and, you know, making it a better package. So that's why we've been able to rise our prices without losing any students. We've only grown
right.
every time we've raised our prices. Yeah. But yeah, I have to explain that one reason I don't have a materials fees back in the day when it was very blue collar, young families, you know, fishing families, factory worker families, is that my whole thing, because there were no other air carers in town, was everyone can study English. I want everyone to be able to come and study English. So I will just take what we need to survive,
yeah,
and I'm not going to charge you anymore. I'm not going to charge you more than textbooks are worth. The profit I make on textbooks now is just the discount I receive from the publisher.
I want to kind of contrast this to the other two that I've spoken to so far, Junpei and Ryan. So I feel like there's a little bit of an element of like lemonade stand. Have you ever played that game?
Yeah.
Lemonade stand. So it's a real basic economics kind of game for children. I played it on the Apple IIc computer way back in the day. And essentially you look at the weather, you set prices for your lemonade, and then you sell a certain amount, right? And if you set it too high, you might sell one or two. And, you know, you've kind of find that like demand price point, I guess. But having spoken to both Junpei and Ryan, they are priced higher than the market standard, and they justify it or through things like marketing, showing the training, trying to present themselves as sort of the quality brand or something like that. What are your thoughts on that?
When we increase our prices or reduce the number of lessons, and we've done both, we always try to add something to keep the transition positive.
Right.
We don't want to make it a negative situation.
Okay.
So we give lots and lots of time. Every time I've done it, I've given lots of time. Just to give you an example, this year, April, we raised prices by 12%.
Right.
And we sent out letters and put it on our homepage of that from July of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave a good 9-10 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That is a long time.
And then if anyone wanted to leave because of the price change, they had 9 months to basically make up their mind. And no, you know, we in January, we changed the prices on our homepage from April, and we got another flood of students. I think we put another 170 in this year, and it just kept rolling on. And the 12% over a large number, it's a lot of money. So it's very, very useful. And we, you know, by raising the prices, I'm able to increase staff. We have 11 native teachers. We have 6 Japanese teachers. We have 2 Kikoku Shijo teachers. And, you know, I think I originally rented each school, and slowly we've bought land and built buildings within 100 meters of those rented schools. Mm-hmm. So we've just moved everyone over, so they're into a clean environment, you know, a nice learning environment, so everyone's happy. So we're using the income every time we raise our prices, reinvesting it to offer a better product, in my opinion.
Right. So tell me more about that. So I understand about new locations and staff. The new location would appear as a value add to the customers. The staff, they might not necessarily see it that way. It's part of expansion. So in what ways have you kind of upgraded your offering, and in what way have you communicated that along with the price change? Or is it together, or is that something that you stagger? Or
our curriculum hasn't really changed, to be honest. I know in your case, you've brought in a lot of tech and stuff like that. We don't offer much tech at our schools. So the curriculum has never really changed. Then the price ranges is basically, the price rises are basically due to inflation, not just inflation in the area, but inflation in my costs of offering a clean environment, a new atmosphere. And the curriculum has just stayed the same. But you say like they don't see value in new staff. I see a lot of value in having more native teachers, especially from different countries. We rotate our teachers every month. So we have 8 different classrooms in 4 different locations. So every month they will go to a different classroom or a different location. We promote that to our students that you will learn from 7 or 8 different natives from different dialects of English, different pronunciations. That's one thing that I actually really push hard, you know, more of a universal English rather than just one sect, American or British. So you are
increasing more into that rotation. So they're seeing more teachers. So that's part of the sort of increase for them, right? Yeah.
Yes, yes. The curriculum is still the same. All the teachers teach the same curriculum. But coming from a different background, different dialect of English, I see value in that myself. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So
like trying to learn Japanese from someone from Kansai.
Right.
And then going and living in Tohoku, you know?
Right, you would have no clue what people are saying. So you also mentioned that you've cut down on the number of lessons per year at various points. Have you done that at the same time as raising prices, or was that in different years?
Until this year, in different years.
Yeah.
And we actually got away with it each time very easily. Mm-hmm. Just put out a message, put out a notice, and maybe lose 3 or 4 students, and the majority just roll over.
Right.
This year, we did it at the same time as our price increase.
Right.
However, by doing so, we've been able to increase training by another 5 days. So we have now 10 training sessions, all staff training days per year.
Right.
And I've also been able to increase events. So by decreasing lessons, we're not increasing staff holidays. The staff are still working the same amount of time that they always have.
Right.
But we've been able to provide a better product because we work in 4 different locations. So to get all the staff together in one location for one training day, I can send you videos of my staff practicing songs and dances and training days.
Right.
It's heartwarming to watch them do that. It allows us to create and offer a better product, a solid product. Yeah. In the beginning, that makes a lot of sense.
So that's definitely, in a sense, an upgrade. By cutting down the days, you're putting that into product or offering a better product. Do you put that in an Instagram, or do you send out a newsletter? Is there some way that you show the students that side of things?
Yes. Every day we have a training day. I make a short video, a 1 or 2 minute video of the Japanese staff doing training in one room. And, you know, and then the teachers doing training in another room. We have Line for Business, and we link our homepage newsfeed through Line for Business. So every time I put something up on the homepage news, it automatically goes out on Line Business. And basically we get 1,200 automatic clicks to our homepage immediately, which keeps us at the top of Google search.
Oh, nice.
So we don't pay for any online advertising. And if you search Eikaiwa Akashi, I think we're second or third on the first page.
Right.
It's because once or twice a week, we send out something in Line, and to read it, they've got to click the link, which opens up on our homepage.
You host all of that on the homepage, but they get the message on Line. Yeah. They click on it, and that boosts your activity on your page. Yeah? That's a good advice.
And so when we have a training day, actually we have a training day this Saturday, and last night news went out to say that we are closed this Saturday due to staff training.
Yeah.
So everyone will, they know about that. We're telling them what we're doing and stuff. And then the day, either on the training day or the next week, I usually send out a short video to show parents what the teachers did in the training, what we've been working on. And this year we're trying to get into project learning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, teachers are practicing project learning this Saturday for half of the day, and the other half of the day we're doing an eight game based lesson training for 4 new teachers this year. So they need a bit of training on how to teach Eiken, etc. So we communicate this with the parents just so it doesn't look like we're just taking days off, you know.
We want parents to
see that we're actually using these training days wisely, and then they can see, you know, value and why we do raise our prices from time to time.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell me, where do you list your prices? Do you put your prices in your advertising? Do you put your prices on your website? Where do they find out about your prices?
Basically, in this day and age, what we want to do is get everyone to our homepage.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think all of us owners are basically on the same page there. I don't want 100 people calling the phone all the time and taking up the phone lines with our stuff. I want them to go to the homepage. So everything you need to know, except for our tricks of the trade and our curriculum, will be found on the homepage. Once they sign up, they can then get a login and sign into the homepage and then go to a special page, which gives them more information on our curriculum, mm-hmm. but that's not open to anyone, right?
Right.
But all the prices are on the homepage. You've probably seen this before. I've been using this for many, many years. I change the photos sometimes. It's a collage at the top, and then at the bottom, it's very, very simple. And I print out 10,000 of these every 2 to 3 months, and yep. they go into post boxes, and we get about 20 to 30 trials a month from this alone.
Right. Very nice.
It cost me 6,000 yen for 10,000.
But I see that you have the price, your kind of minimum yes. price on there, right?
Yes. So I was going to get to that. Obviously, we don't offer all the information. We don't want them to look at this and make up their mind.
Right.
We don't want them to take it out of the letterbox and go, oh, wow, that looks really, really fun. It's colorful. Look, they're doing so much cool stuff. They're using English, the foreign teachers, native teachers. Oh, that's expensive. Or no, I don't want to do that. Right. You know?
Yeah.
So we just give them a little taste.
Right.
An appetizer, I guess. I've got one with a QR code on it. And it takes them straight to our homepage. I sat down with our marketing company that builds our homepage and helps move this sort of stuff. And one piece of advice I got about 4 years ago now is that a lot of younger parents now use smartphones and iPhones, mm-hmm. and you have to have all your information on one page. They've
right.
just got to be able to keep scrolling, keep scrolling, keep scrolling, keep scrolling.
Right.
Every so many paragraphs, you've got to offer a link to sign up for a trial lesson and just keep yeah. repeating that. They don't want to have to zoom in and click on different pages to find yeah. information. So that QR code takes them to an information which shows who we are, what we do, where we are, what we offer, how we grade up our students, how we level them up, how they start, what they do in the middle, what we expect of them at a time of graduation. Our goal is to keep students for 10 years.
Right.
And then it'll give them our levels, prices, all of our fees. Come and join us, you know.
And the application for a trial is on that one page?
Yeah, yeah. It's a box they click on. Obviously, it works on PC and it works on smartphone and iPhone now. You know, I think that's really important. Clicking around, I see a lot of people who have a homepage that looks good on PC, and then you're
not
on it on the phone.
Yeah.
It's not optimized and it's tiny, and you've got to zoom in and you can't click on something properly can't enter everything cleanly and easily. So I think that's a really important thing. I think with marketing, I've tried Instagram a lot. I've tried Google Ads. I've tried Facebook, and the Instagram, we might get 2 a year. If we're lucky, Facebook, 0. Google Ads, very little, but 20 to 30 month off the flyer. So the
flyers are the best. I totally agree with that.
You've probably seen me advocating in EOG for many years about flyers. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are against the idea. And most of the people I think who are against are those who have tried it once and it didn't work.
That's right. Right.
I have a big map in my office, and I do a whole circle of Akashi, and when I get back to the same area again, I go the same way around again, and around again, and around again.
So each house would get it like 4 times a year or
twice a year?
Twice a year.
Twice a year, And I hit the same houses. I like to do it myself because I like to know the boxes they're going into.
Yeah.
But I also have 3 other staff member.
Oh, you do it yourself. You don't hire a service. Yeah.
I get on Google Maps, put on satellite view, looking, zoom in and find all the solar panels on roofs, you know, houses under 10 years old. And then I actually have 3 other staff members who do it in their off time now.
With an incentive, I think you mentioned the other day.
Yeah. So I give them, you know, 1,000. And then every one of my staff member has their own stamp.
Right.
With just a little character stamp, like a frog or a sun or whatever. and they stamp each one on the back and they go out on a day off. It's totally optional. It's not part of their job. They don't have to do it, only if they want to. And then anyone who comes and joins and brings the flyer, as they're asked to, the staff member will get 5,000 yen extra on their next month's salary.
Very nice.
Bonus. So one of our staff members does it, you know, religiously. And I think maybe in March this year, when it was a heavier time of the year to join, busier time, he got 7 in 1 month.
Ooh,
so that was
nice.
An extra samang gosen or something for
Yeah,
him.
yeah,
He's
yeah,
got
yeah.
two little children, so he was really happy to get that.
So I understand. So just to summarize the last bit, you are quite upfront with your pricing. You've got a relatively lower price on your flyer, and all of your pricing can be found on the website. So nothing's kind of hidden with that.
We also let prospective students and their parents know about our pricing before they come to our trial lessons.
Okay.
I don't want J staff, we call them J staff. I don't want them to waste their time doing a whole trial lesson if they're not going to join due to pricing. So we make that very clear in the beginning. And we tell them that if they want to join on the day they come to the trial lesson, they have to bring 8,000 yen with them on that day.
Really? That's interesting. That's so the opposite of what you read about showing, you know, revealing prices and stuff in general in business, in that usually you want to start lead with value and then show the pricing later. You've kind of flipped that over where you're like, if you want to come, make sure you're prepared to
a
pay
lot
that.
Of our classes are full, and we actually have a waiting list in some locations.
I see.
So it's kind of rumor in the community when someone joins. Usually when we get a trial request, we don't invite them in within the first week. We have them wait 2 or 3 weeks and, you know, move things around.
Right. That could work pretty well in Japan as well. People like a lineup, don't they?
Japanese people love to line up.
Interesting. Okay. So very upfront with the pricing. Well, that's great. I'm really happy to get a very different perspective from what I've been hearing from other people so far.
But I think it only works in an area where you have demand.
Yeah. Well, for sure. So they're one of the topics that I have discussed with others as well that might be interesting. We've already kind of touched on it, is whether you think area matters when it comes to pricing. And you mentioned that Akashi was originally quite blue collar and that the economic level is raised a little bit, right?
Yes. Substantially, I think. Yeah.
But with that, at the same time, seeing that you have a waiting list and that you're full, would that not also be an indication that you might be slightly underpriced and that you could raise more?
Possibly, yes. But I've just raised it 12% this year. So there is, in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, we do need to do it again at some time. And also, I'm actually starting to realize that I don't think I need more than 1,200. It's starting to become quite a chore. You know? It's becoming a little bit more stressful.
it certainly does that.
You know, and then I don't want our product to diminish either, because we're too busy and we can't give each family the time that they deserve, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I'm thinking about that. Should I lose 100 or 200 students and raise the prices? That's something I'm thinking about down the track. But right at the moment, at this time, we've just increased 12%. We increased students by 170 this year after a price increase, and we reduced our number of lessons per year one down this year. And everything is settled. So I don't want to rock the boat anymore this year, and probably not next year either. Want to leave a couple of years in between. Yeah.
That's interesting, though. I mean, it really, by some of the advice that I've read and stuff that you'd see in the guide, if you do have a read through it later on, that is a real indicator that you have room to increase, is when you do an increase and there's no reaction, or in fact, you're gaining many more students, right? So certainly seems like you would have a bit of playroom there still.
I read a document more than 10 years ago now, but it stays really fresh in my mind. And I go back and I read it from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a 15-page document, and it's called Getting Students to Pay You More. I think that all owners, especially young, smaller school owners, should consider that point of getting students to pay you more getting the most out of your students financially before raising your prices.
Okay, explain.
So there are little things we can do to get more money from the same amount of students that we have. We don't have to increase our students another 100 students if we can make more from each family, a little bit more from each family, right? Mm-hmm. For example, we offer pay more for more flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Pay less for less flexibility.
Options, right? Yeah.
We offer options. So our monthly system offers one free makeup a month. When I say free, it's an inclusive makeup. So for their monthly fee, they can be absent once a month and they can make up that lesson within 45 days for no extra cost.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're a really busy person, you do ballet and you do Kumon and you do all these other ones, and you're often absent, then you can sign up to our two sub plan per month for an extra 1,000 yen on top of your monthly fee. It costs me zero money because these students are right. Subbing or making up into our original classes, our existing classes anyway. Right. And it just means that all I do is I log into the online system, and we use Mr. English, and I change their plan in the drop-down box from one per month to two per month save. And that just allows them to log in and be absent and appoint twice in that month.
Okay, that's really interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What percentage of your students would use that system?
We have 130 students on two sub per month.
Okay, so not the majority. It's about 10%-ish.
Yeah, a little bit more, about 15-20%. Yeah, so I think it's 130-140 students. What we actually do is a little bit like SoftBank Docomo. We added on in the beginning when they join, they get the first 3 months two sub per month plan for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then at the end of the 3 months, then they get an email to say it's finished. If they would like to knock it back to one per month, one sub per month, that is your regular price per month. If you continue on from now, you will be charged an extra 1,000 yen per month.
Right.
And okay. Automatically rolls over. I think my point is a lot of people really put energy into getting more students.
Yeah.
I'm one of them actually, but now I'm at a point where I'm quite comfortable. But a lot of, you know, people are looking at always just increasing the students, but you know, that might decrease their productivity.
Absolutely.
And their value. So maybe before just increasing students, maybe being able to offer more value for an extra cost.
Right.
Could more be something they could incorporate into their business plan.
I like that.